The scriptures today always bear repeating thematically for our own times as well as times past. The message is always the same in the Old and the New Testament and down through time and space for us. The message is always the same of do penance. Do penance and change your lives. You heard it either said or implied in all three readings today. Repent and change your lives. The word repentance means to change your mind. And whenever you stop and look at the world today, we can see the need for the proclamation of that gospel, also the epistles, also Old Testament readings. And so it comes down to us through time and space, the consistency, especially whenever you hear Jonah today. Jonah, who was told by God, gave him a mission to walk through Nineveh. They were Assyrians who caused a lot of trouble for Israel. But he gave them a job, God did, to march through Nineveh and insist that they repent and change their ways or else. Well, that message is coming down to us the same way in our times. Because the world, as you well know, is a mess and continues to become messier. And so whether it's a Jonah or a gospel writer or a preacher, priest, deacon, or a parent addresses the fact that we are called to always live and do penance to atone for sin in the world. That's the job of a Christian, but first and foremost of a Catholic. You see, in between our confessions, we are constantly doing penance. I think we have forgotten that over the decades since the Second Vatican Council. It was part of the agenda, if you will, in the preaching when I was growing up, truly a century ago, or in the last century. But what we were called always to look at the crucifix, which we were to have in our homes, and remember that looking at that was the cost of our salvation. That was the sign of atonement. And like the Lord, we were to also offer up our sufferings and our crosses in atonement not only for our own sins, but for the sins of the whole world. As I say so often here, we are meant as the body of Christ, the church, to help save the world by our penance and our faithfulness in our prayer life and faith and good works. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to read something to you because preaching is teaching today, as I always say, probably ad nauseam, because Catholic people should be aware of the spirituality that we have in our faith. Certainly, it's the spirituality that's centered on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. But because the world has continued to go into entropy instead of syntropy, because it continues to go down instead of up, as I mentioned last week at my two masses, we are in the midst of what's called the Marian Age, which began, according to Pope Leo XIII and Pius XII, in the 1830s when the Blessed Mother appeared to St. Catherine Labore and gave her the message of the miraculous medal. Every Catholic, she said, should wear a miraculous medal. And the sadness, though it's no one here's fault, is that people don't know about a lot of the spiritualities and messages of Our Lady. And Jesus, for that point, whenever he continues to intervene into the human condition and consciousness, constantly reminding us, in order to maintain civilization, let alone the body of Christ, the church, we have to keep a moral value. Indeed, the purpose of baptism is to keep morality alive. We certainly can look out and see the absence of that. It's always been that way. But it seems that it has gotten worse over a period of time. We can blame it on many things. But rather than play the blame game, let's just look at the results of that entropy instead of syntropy. The breakdown of marriage, the breakdown of family, the breakdown of civility. Last week, I talked about the various apparitions of Our Blessed Mother since 1830 to St. Catherine the Miraculous Medal. I referred to Our Lady of Fatima. I referred to Our Lady of Lourdes. I referred to Our Lady of Akita, Japan in the 70s, and she's now reappearing again, the same place where she did in the 70s. I mentioned Our Lady of Medjugorje. I went there myself in 1990, and I should mention, be I remiss, that our deacon has certainly visited a number of times to Fatima and Lourdes. I was corrected last week for not mentioning that. Mea culpa. It's on my bucket list. What I'd like to share with you this morning is something that is supposed to be being talked about, and yet it isn't, I guess for many reasons. You're not going to hear about it in the secular press or read about it, not even in AI or YouTube or whatever. And yet it's out there in certain Catholic press, and it has to do with something that maybe other people know. I've known about it and not thought to preach about it. You know, I'm one of those people that think because I know it, everybody must know it, so why repeat what they already know? And I'm talking about apparitions that happened in the 1990s in Brazil, of all people, St. Joseph. St. Joseph appeared to a young man in Brazil in the 1990s. The apparitions have been approved by the bishops of the Americas, which whenever you hear that means South and Central America. It seems that because Our Lady of Guadalupe, also of the Marian age, appeared in Mexico, at the same time that Martin Luther was proclaiming his heresy and millions of Catholics were leaving the true faith, simultaneous to that apostasy, Our Mother of Guadalupe was appearing in Mexico to St. Juan Diego, and at least 9 million people in 3 years, natives leaving the Aztec ritual of child sacrifice, our word for abortion, were changed into becoming Catholic. So as the devil is attacking one part of Europe, he's appearing in another part of the, Our Lady is appearing in another part of the Americas, and the first words out of her mouth were repent and believe in the good news, do penance. Well, that's happening in Brazil. And apparently, although the apparitions are over, they're being extant throughout the whole world. They're being disseminated. But this time, because Our Lady of Guadalupe was proclaimed the patroness of the Americas, that means specifically Central and South America, and that the devil is attacking those countries in particular because the Blessed Mother has been proclaimed patroness of the Americas. The devil is furious, but then that's his state of being. He's very jealous of the human condition because God created us in his image and invites us to eternal salvation. The devil interfered with that, with the fall of our first parents that was caused by disobedience. And then Jesus intervened inside of salvation history, and the rest is salvation history, that in spite of our sin, God is constantly working in our hearts and in our minds through the proclamation of the gospel, the teachings in the church, but also the constant apparitions of Our Lady, and now in Brazil, to St. Joseph. He is attacking Central and South America through drug cartels, also through sex trafficking, also through socialism that is leading to terrible poverty and revolutions in those parts of the world. And so St. Joseph appeared to a young man and gave him a series of messages, but not just for that man, and not just for the men, although it was specifically addressed to them in Central or South America, but also for males, for men everywhere. Why? Because the devil is attacking marriage and family life, and specifically through the computer and whatever else is out there, he is attacking chastity and purity, through the likes of which, with the click of a finger of the computer, you can find yourself in another world that's made up of fantasy. Anything but beautiful that appears that way because it occults ugliness of the soul. And so he is prompting men, fathers, husbands, men, period, to always call on St. Joseph to help them in times of temptation against what he calls purity. because it causes the breakdown of the family. And sexual sin very much causes an attitude of selfishness. One navel gazes, if you will, and forgets that we are called to faith and good works. And so we concentrate not only on materialism, but on our own sin. And consequently, that leads to shame instead of guilt. Shame is a sin. It goes against the two greatest commandments of loving God, neighbor, and self. Guilt is appropriate. It's over what I have done. Shame says I should kill myself. I don't deserve to live, and I'm going to hell. That's the wiles of the devil that he will whisper, and that's what Our Lady calls the devil, the sin whisperer, to seduce us into despair and depression and shame and abandonment of faith. And so St. Joseph has been appearing, and these are the messages that he has given to the world, and I shall read just a few, and then I promise I will end it. St. Joseph first appears, and he says what was said at Fatima, and it's said at all the Marian apparitions: repent, repent, repent. In other words, change your minds, change your hearts, change your lives. Reflect the goodness and mercy of God. And we approach his mercy in spite of our sins and because of our sins in the sacrament of confession. And we do penance there, of course. The priest gives us a penance, but that just doesn't end there, that I say my Hail Marys, or I read something from the scriptures or whatever. In between my confessions, I do penance. I stop myself from saying certain things that are hardly flattering and maybe even destructive to someone or a group of people. I avoid a critical attitude. I do penance for sins of the flesh by fasting here, but I fast not only from food, but I mind fast from things of memories of older times or present times of arousal. And what St. Joseph suggests is that we pray for people who are in those images. Pray for those who are wrapped in sin and are producing it for monetary gain, that they are subject also to their own situations of investing in a way of life that is addictive. And so we are called to pray. And St. Joseph says, because you're being victimized by something like pornography, you have a power to pray for those who are the victimizers. And that's the people that are in charge of that kind of salaciousness, how people dress, the kind of language that is inappropriate, the kind of choices that are made that are far from the kingdom of God. Greed, selfishness, lust, pride, anger, all those seven deadly sins that are the opposite of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. What I feed grows. So if I feed on the seven deadly sins, well, the fruit of that is going to be toxic. And I find myself distancing myself, not only from each other, but from God. I give what I have, which can be a sense of isolation and discrimination and prejudice. In March 1st of 1998, St. Joseph appeared to a young man and said, my dear son, our Lord Jesus Christ has sent me to tell you about the graces the faithful receive from my most chaste heart, which Jesus and my blessed spouse wish to be honored. Through devotion to my chaste heart, see, this is what he calls for. This is part of the message. Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and devotion to the chaste heart of St. Joseph. Chastity for single people, and chastity as far as married people, is to be faithful and exclusively being sexual with my partner. That's the chastity of married life. Through devotion to my chaste heart, many souls will be saved from the hands of the devil. God our Lord has allowed me to reveal to you the promises of my heart. And he says to this young man, approved by all the bishops of the Americas, just as I am fair and righteous in the sight of God, all who have devotion to my heart will also be chaste, righteous, and holy in his sight. I will fill you with these graces and virtues, making you grow every day on the road to holiness. The next day, St. Joseph came to this young man again with the child Jesus, who reclined on his heart. Joseph revealed that God wanted to give countless graces through devotion to his virile heart, his strong heart. He said, "My son and our Lord Jesus, that I brought up here on earth with the Father's love, desires that all men practice devotion to my heart and all those in need of graces from heaven." He said, "I promise to all that honor the most chaste heart of mine and who do here on earth good deeds in favor of the most needy, especially to pray and care for the sick and the dying, for whom I am a consoler and protector, to receive in their last moment of their lives the grace of a good death. I myself will be to these souls their petitioner, to my son Jesus, and together with my spouse, Most Holy Mary, we will console them in their last hours here on earth with our holy presence, and they may rest in the peace of our hearts. Just as you saw my son Jesus repose his heart, his head on my heart, this way myself and my spouse, Holy Mary, will take these souls to the glory of paradise in the presence of their Savior, my son Jesus Christ, so that they may repose and incline themselves to his sacred heart." He goes on to say, he reminds us that in the litany of St. Joseph, as old as the church practically, at least from the 5th century, he is called the terror of demons. To say the holy name of Jesus, the devil runs. To say the holy name of Mary, the devil runs. To say the holy name of Joseph, the devil runs. He is suggesting, it is a suggestion, that just as we have First Friday devotion, which we have in this parish that comes from the apparitions of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Ella Coke in the 1700s, to have in your parishes the devotions to the 9 First Fridays brings conversion grace to people who are hardened in sin. We pray for the many, not just ourselves. We pray for the salvation of all. He reminds in this apparition about the first Saturday devotions, which we have here, which in 1929, the Blessed Mother appeared to St. Lucy, one of the visionary children, in 1917, in Portugal, of Our Lady of Fatima, and one of the 5 first Saturdays. Why? Because people had forgotten the message of Our Lady of 1917 of Fatima, to do penance, to amend our lives, and to pray for the conversion of the whole world, to call on God's mercy, not to look at the rigor of his punishment, which the devil's going to feed. But we pay attention to the gospel of mercy, which, by the way, means deep compassion for the human condition, that God knows our weaknesses. He beckons us in our weaknesses and because of our weaknesses to approach his strength. The more we approach his strength for a strong heart, as St. Joseph has, the more grace, which means strength, is given to us, that we say no more to sin of all kinds, and yes to doing the Father's will, which is faith in good works, in the commandments of the Old and the New Testament. And finally, what he's asking us to do is now First Wednesdays. If you can get to Mass on First Wednesdays, and you can look up on your computers the consecration to St. Joseph. He promises to pour great graces on the world, especially those who are so involved in hate and anger and rage and mean-spiritedness that his strong heart will be poured out not only on the person that is praying, but also on those who are far from God and in danger of eternal perdition. You have the strength as a baptized person to bless, not to curse. Anybody can do that, but to bring down blessings for the sake of their doing penance and change of mind and heart. If you can't get to Mass, then he says to pray the Holy Rosary that morning of First Wednesday. And whenever you pray it, because you can't get to Holy Mass, the same promise of his pouring out graces on the person that is praying it, but especially for men who pray the rosary on First Wednesdays, you will be given the special graces that we all need to look forward to eternal salvation. That we will be given the strength in our will to say no to sin, simultaneous to say yes to God's grace. by the power of the rosary, and by prayer and good works, which is, as you know from St. Paul, is the means to salvation for us, because good works are acts of gratitude for what the Lord has done for us on the cross. You can look these up on the computer. They're pages long. They went on for years. I just prayed some of the highlights of it. My point is, be aware of our Catholic spirituality. We are a mystical religion. We are a transcendent religion. We believe in the invisible that's been made visible in the Incarnation. We believe at Holy Mass that we step into the Last Supper. We're not just remembering it. We are present at the Last Supper. That at the words of consecration, Christ steps into the priest and does the words of consecration. Just as Christ steps into the priest at the words of absolution. Why aren't we having more vocations to the priesthood? St. John Bosco said, and his statue is out in the narthex, for every 6 males that are born, 1 is given a vocation to the priesthood. And look at the lack of the response today because of what has happened by way of the devil, who's done his work, not only on all of us, but he attacks priests and deacons and religious and you and me. But heaven is constantly opening up the skies, if you will, and sending out messages just like God sent Jonah to go out and say, repent and believe in the good news. They did repent and believed, and so chastisement was not given to Nineveh. Please God, what's pastor's prologue, that as we do penance of all kinds, mind fasting, spirit feasting, as we concentrate on the joy of the promises of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the virile, chaste heart of Saint Joseph, we too will be instrumental not only in our growing in grace, but also in pouring out grace on the whole world, especially those places and people that are most in need. And all you have to do sometimes is look across the neighborhood, or look across the world, or look across someone at your dining room table, and see that all of us are in need of God's grace, and all of us have the power, in spite of our own sin, to pray for conversion grace, because we change our minds and our hearts to do his will, and we thank him for the messages of heaven to us. I'll close with a quote by St. Alphonsus Liguori, who, by the way, as you know, is the author of the Magnificat that we pray for those who contribute to our second spring. St. Alphonsus said, we must be convinced that in consideration of his great merits, God will not refuse St. Joseph any grace he asks for those who honor him.